Jesus came, glory to his name. Oh, what a friend is he. He so freely gave his own life to save from bonds of sin set free.
I've got that
new love in my heart. It is now way down inside. I've got that new peace in my heart, where true joys abide. Nobody knows what it means to me. Nobody knows but my Lord and me. I've got that
new
love in my heart. It is now way down inside. What a joy to know one who loves us so. He is so kind and true. He has changed my life from all sin and strife. He'll do the same for you.
Sinner, won't you now humbly to him bow? Just let the Lord come in. You'll find perfect peace, joy will never cease. You shall a life crown win.
I've got that
pure love in my heart. It is now way down inside. I've got that
new
peace in my heart, where true joys abide. Nobody knows what it means to me. Nobody knows but my Lord and me. I've got that
new
love in my heart. It is now way down inside.
Amen. Thank you, men. Brother Tim, you would think that you were starting to eat. You were so anxious. It's just a song. You notice he put that little extra in at the beginning, wanting to get started, and that was the little extra he needed at the ending. Amen. Open your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11.
Amen.
Hebrews, chapter 11. Well, we do not serve the Lord in perfect bodies with perfect abilities. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And we're going to make mistakes. God's blessings on my preaching was limited only to those sermons where I did not make a mistake, I would have been bankrupt about 43 years ago. Thank God he is a faithful God. He's looking for availability. The most important ability that we have is availability. Availability. The most important note is be natural. Have you found your place in Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11. Stand as we begin to read in verse number 8, and we'll read through verse number 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in the faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. We'll leave off reading there, and I wanted us to read this wonderful passage of Scripture out of Hebrews chapter 11 about Abraham. Abraham is called the father of the faith, the father of the faithful. He's also called the friend of God. And he sets for us an example of living and walking by faith. He's also an example of how God can bless a person who will learn to walk by faith in the will of God. Now, I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes on the subject, living a life of faith. Living a life of faith. I'm convinced that most Christians don't live by faith in God. If our company went bankrupt, we'd have a nervous breakdown. A lot of seniors, if the government faltered, they'd have nervous breakdowns because they're depending on government, not God. Do you really walk by faith and live by faith? Father in heaven, help me tonight to take this precious, precious passage of Scripture and say those things that you've given me to say that would encourage us, from this preacher to the newest Christian, to walk by faith in the Word of God. Lord, there's so much going on today in the name of religion that's not Christianity. So much going on in the name of religion that's not Bible. So much going on today in the name of religion that God cannot bless because it contradicts your very word. If we're going to live by faith, we've got to learn to live by the word of God. We're not going to hear an audible voice out of heaven. You're not going to write another epistle addressed especially to us. You've given us the Bible. God, help us to learn to love it and to believe it and to obey it and to walk by faith according to its teachings, its promises, and its precepts. Now help me tonight as I preach. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit that I might be used tonight to convey a message that would encourage your children and your church to trust you and obey you. And truly live a life by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I love you and I confess to you how desperately I need you. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit and use me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Living a life of faith. There are times as Christians when you'll have to solely depend upon the Word of God in order to control your behavior. There's going to be times when you're not going to know what to do, which way to go, which end is up or down, and the only stabilizing force in your life will be the Word of God. You've got to learn to trust it, to believe it. There's times when family and friends will try to discourage you from obeying the Word of God and the will of God. We as Christians must learn to totally trust what God's Word says. We must learn to believe God and obey God. Now, the Holy Spirit still speaks to our heart, but He never speaks to us about anything contradicting the Word of God. Amen. The leadership of the Holy Spirit will always agree with the written, preserved Word of God. And if you're saying the Holy Spirit is leading you to do something that contradicts the Bible, you better put into practice 1 John 4, where you try that Spirit and prove it to see that it's of God. The Bible, if it contradicts the Bible, it is not of God. It's a seducing spirit. The spirit of the devil trying to get you off course. Oftentimes, someone will ask you to do something that's underhanded. Something that's not exactly right. We've got to learn to rely on the Word of God for our behavior. And for our actions. There are many times in our life that we'll have to say, I trust you, Lord, when everything else around us seems to be falling apart. When it's dark and we can't see the next step, we've got to learn to say, I trust you. Even in the midst of tragedy, we've got to learn to say, I trust you. When devastating sicknesses come, it doesn't look like we're going to make it through it. We've got to learn to say, God, I trust you. When a family is crippled by divorce, and you're the innocent party, you weren't a part of it, you've got to learn to say, God, I don't understand it. I don't want it. But I've got to trust you. Help me to walk by faith. When death comes, some loved one leaves this life, and we don't understand it, we've got to learn to trust God. When our children break our heart, when they run away, when they go against everything we stand for, instead of throwing up our hands and say, we've been wrong believing the Word of God and trying to raise them by the Word of God, we've got to say, they're wrong, but God, I trust you. In a life of faith, testing will come. But oh, we can learn to rest on the words of God. When everything seems to go wrong, we can trust God and His Word. Amen. Tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to give you five simple thoughts about living a life of faith. First of all, I want you to consider the timing of a person's faith. The timing of a person's faith. We are not born into this world with faith. Where does faith come from? Well, it comes from God. And there is a time somewhere in every one of our life as Christians that God speaks to us about His will for our life. And in that time, we have an opportunity to step out by faith and walk in the perfect will of God. The Lord came to Abraham while in the land of Ur of the Chaldees and told him to follow him to a land which he had never seen, and a land he had never been to or even heard of before. Just one day, God says, Abraham, follow me and I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you seed, and I'm going to give you children so that they're going to be multiplied until they're like the stars in the sky, so many you can't count them, and they're going to be like the sand on the seashore, innumerable. Boy, at that very moment, Abraham was faced with a decision. He said, no, I've got it good here. I'm not going to leave a home I know and a job I know and a place I know to follow you to some place I don't know about and I've never seen, never heard of. But at that very moment, he had the opportunity to become a man of faith. Or a man who became a failure. A man who walked in the will of God and became the friend of God. Or just another man that walked by sight and not by faith. The only choices Abraham had was to ignore God or to act upon what God said. Didn't have but two choices. He could say no to God, ignore God, or he could obey God. May I suggest to you, at that time when God comes to us with the opportunity to step out by faith, we only have two choices either. We can obey God and begin to walk in the perfect will of God for our life, or we can disobey God and think we know better than God. There is a time in every Christian's life when the Holy Spirit moves to lead us out by faith to obey the will of God for our life. Have you been there? Have you said yes? Have you said no? Have you quit along the way? Whereas a lot of people start out only to quit along the way. This is what a missionary has to do when God calls him to a land he's never been before and to a people he's never seen before. He's got a choice to ignore God's call or act upon what God has told him to do. This is what every God-called preacher has had to do. Obey God or ignore His calling. This is what I had to do when God called me. I had a choice. I could leave career behind. I could leave my plans behind and obey God. Or I could say no to God and do it my way. May I say to you, parents are a major hindrance sometimes to children wanting to obey the will of God. Junior comes home telling how he's joining the military and they're going to ship him to Iraq, and parents say, Junior, we're sure proud of you. Well, thank you for being a patriot and loving your country. Be safe and do a good job. Another son comes home, says, Mom and Dad, God's spoken to my heart and called me to be a missionary. And parents stand up over and over again and in opposition and say, don't be a fool and waste your life. Oh, my parent, don't ever be guilty of encouraging your children to disobey God's call. I can think of no more dangerous course in our life than to disobey God's call, to disobey God's will for our life. I can think of no more dangerous advice for your children than to encourage them not to obey God. But many times parents are a great hindrance to their children in trying to walk by faith. There's a time in every Christian's life when God gives us a chance to begin our journey of faith in the perfect will of God. Don't blow it. Don't mess it up. Timing is essential in the perfect will of God. Oh, you may pick it up. You may delay it 20 years and pick it up 20 years down the road, but you're 20 years late in everything you do for God. 20 years late. We have students that started in Bible college because of foolish credit card debt. They thought they had to have things they didn't need, so they bought it with money they didn't have. And the debt became a burden and a millstone. They dropped out of school and still hadn't finished. There's students that ought to be out of Bible college now, serving God full time somewhere, that hasn't even finished the third year. Let me go a little further. Some of you young men, young ladies, get you a car and you think you're Mr. Wonderful, you think you're on a racetrack, and you speed, and you get traffic tickets, and then don't pay them. Dumber than a rock to run up and down, run stop signs, speed, act like you're on a racetrack. That's dumb. But you know what's worse? What's dumber than dumb? Getting a ticket and not paying it and thinking you can get by with it. Don't you know they got a record of it? And God's going to see to it you're going to get pulled over again. And they're going to take you your little body to jail. And you're going to have to tell them, I'm a Bible college student. I'm a Christian. I'm a servant of God. No, you're a fool. You could be walking by faith, but you've made foolish decisions. You're living in the flesh. You're missing the perfect will of God for your life. I'm talking about the timing of our faith. Be ready when God speaks. Obey God. Do right. And you look at this preacher. Dummy, if you get a ticket, go down and pay for it. I know young men that's neglected traffic citations and lose their job because they find out there's a warrant for your arrest. Devil's going to see to it you get stopped again. God's going to see to it, not the devil. God's going to see. You're not going to do wrong, get by with it. God won't let you. And because of foolishness, we miss the time of faith when we can obey God and walk in the perfect will of God for our life. Secondly, I want to talk to you about the testing of a person's faith. The testing of a person's faith. Look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, when he was tested. And verse 11 through 18 talks about the test and the trials that Abraham went through. Some of you who are listening to my voice tonight are at the place of being tested now in your Christian life. Now, there's a difference between chastisement and testing. Some of you are getting a spanking from God, and you say it's God testing me when it's God spanking you. You've done wrong, you've tried to sin and get by with it, and God's not going to let you sin and get by with it, and you're going through a time of chastening and correcting. That's not testing. But God's going to try your faith and test your faith. Some of you are listening to my voice are at that very place of testing now in your Christian life. Our faith must be tested before a person can be declared faithful. God will allow our marriages to be tested. He'll allow us to be tested in our business and our work life. God will allow us to be tested in our time of training while in school and college. Many future pastors and missionaries, many servants of God are disqualified here at this point because of their unfaithfulness in time of testing. Are you being tested? Some of the ways God tests us. Sometimes we're tested by our present condition in life. God will give us an opportunity to step out by faith, and we'll ask, if I make this decision to obey God, how's it going to affect me? How will it change my lifestyle if I decide to obey God? And those questions are coming to mind because God is testing you with present conditions. See, some of us are very comfortable in our lifestyle, and we'll serve God if it doesn't disturb our comfort. If we don't have to give up our easy chair and our air conditioning and our glass of tea. What? If I obey God, I might have to give up the internet. You might even get to the place where God's blessing you. If I obey God, I may have to give up my sports car. You're the one you can't afford, and you're paying by stealing tithes. The one you're getting all the tickets with. The one you're buying insurance for that costs more than the automobile cost. Boy, we make some dumb decisions, don't we? If I can just get that Corvette, man, my life will be settled. I'll be in. Everybody look at me as successful. You can't even pay the dumb payments or the insurance. The insurance on them are more than the automobile payments every month. In fact, some of you, they wouldn't even insure you. Some of them won't insure you on roller skates at this place in your life because of your past record. We're going to be tested. We'll be tested by present conditions in our life. Well, Lord, I'd follow you, but I don't know how I'd do in tents. Yeah. Man, I hate to give up my 2,000 square foot home, air conditioned, 4 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, hot tub, swimming pool, 3 cars, boat, camping trailer. And you ask me to leave that to live in a tent? We're tested by present conditions. Present conditions. Lord, I enjoy my home and my easy chair. Then we're tested by past conditions and comforts. Look at verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of their country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. They didn't dwell on the past. They didn't dwell on what they used to have. They looked forward to what God was promising them. Had they stopped looking forward and looked back, they might have gone back. Many times God causes, or we're tested by past conditions. And we love the past more than we love the expectation of the will of God and the blessings of God for the future. And we give up what God wants to do for us and with us and through us for what we had before God. That's a poor bargain. A poor bargain. If Abraham had looked back and had gone back, what did he have back there in Ur of the Chaldees? A God that could not hear. A God that could not bless. A God that could not help. No future. No hope. No promise. Tested by past conditions. Too many Christians want to press on toward the past in their Christian life. Lord, don't give me the new. Don't give me the unexpected. Don't give me the future promises. I want to go back. Boy, something's wrong in our Christian life when we have greater joy in what we had as a lost person than what we have and what we shall have in Christ Jesus. We're tested by our past conditions and comfort. Abraham and Sarah lay down on the ground in their tent and probably said, you know, this bed is not as nice and comfortable as the one we used to have back home. They probably got tired of moving the tent all the time. But I bet you they never got tired of hearing God's voice and enjoying God's blessings. And that's more important than what they had back in Ur. When you choose to live a life of faith, there'll be tests of future concerns also. Future concerns. Well, if I obey God, what's this going to do to me? How can I have a life being unsettled every day? And by the way, guys, try to explain verse 10 to your wife. Honey, God spoke to me today, and he told us to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to this place I've never seen, I've never heard of, and look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Try to explain verse 10 to her as she says, honey, tell me something about where we're going. I can't. I've never been there, never read about it, never heard about it, never seen it. Well, how big is it? I don't know. Well, where is it located? In a land God will show us. Well, come on, honey, tell me something about it. I'm trying to pick out some wallpaper and some drapes. No, sometimes you can't explain it. You just got to trust God. Just got to trust God. And I can hear Abraham trying to say, honey, I don't know the answer to all those questions, but I know God is faithful. And God's got something for us better than anything the devil ever gave us back in Ur of the Chaldees in our pagan life before we believed by faith. And God said, the just shall live by faith. What kind of a life is this? Having to believe God every day. It's called a life being lived by faith. Amen. Listen to me. Listen to this statement. Abraham's life would have been an absolute failure any minute he stopped believing and obeying God by faith. You know, kind of like some of you. As long as you were obeying God, God was blessing, but there came a time you said no. and stopped trusting and stopped obeying. And it's been downhill ever since. Abraham's life would have been an absolute failure at any moment he stopped trusting God and obeying God. When God tested Abraham's faith, he used what Abraham loved most, his home in Ur of the Chaldees. He had to leave it behind. His father, that almost threw him for a loop. That almost caused him to be a failure. Because God didn't tell him to take his father with him, but he did. And he only got halfway to the promised land. He spent a big part of his life in Haran, halfway to the perfect will of God, until his father died. God tested him with his homeland in Ur, with his father, and with his seed, his son. God never stops testing our faith as we continue to grow, as we continue to mature, and our faith becomes greater, and the blessings of God become greater. God's test become a little greater and a little stronger. He wants to prove us. And the final big test was when God kept his promise, and that old man and that old woman had a little baby boy, the promised seed, the one in whom all of the promises of God were to be fulfilled. And Abraham loved that little old boy. Wasn't a little boy. He was up in his 20s at this time. A young man. And God said, "All right, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your only son, and go up to Mount Moriah. I want you to build an altar. And I want you to put your son on the altar. Put wood around him. Take your knife. Offer him as a sacrifice and set fire to it." Well, we can't even get past giving up the car, giving up the television, giving up the computer. We can't even get past the air conditioning. We haven't even got past leaving our homeland or finishing Bible college. If you faced a test like that, you think you'd come out on the other side still obedient? Oh, I'd face it knowing that God was going to stop me before it happened. We know the end of the story. Abraham didn't. You know what Abraham believed? It tells us right here in the Word of God. Right. Abraham believed he was going to have to kill his son and offer him as a sacrifice, and God would raise him up again. That's what it says right there in the Scripture. Amen. It had never happened before. There was no example of it in the past. He just knew that God was good and God was a holy God and a just God. And he knew that whatever the outcome was, God would do right by it. And he obeyed God and he trusted God. Whew. Our faith's going to be tested. Let me move on. The Christian who lives by faith must be concerned about the transfer of their faith. God's not interested just in us living by faith, but to live in such a way that it's passed on to the next generation and the next. The transfer of our faith. Oh my, God intended for our faith to be passed on to the next generation. We've read through verse number 19 about Abraham and verse number 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. And Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. The transfer of faith. It didn't end with Abraham and Sarah, but their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren were benefits of a mama and daddy who loved God and walked by faith in such a way that sons and daughters could see it and accept the God of their fathers and walk in their footprints. The transfer of faith. When we trace the lineage of our faith, it ought never to stop with us, or we've done something terribly wrong. God intends for it to be passed on. If you want your children to be people of faith and live by faith in God, then you must live by faith in God's Word. Our faith cannot be lip service. It must pass the test of life. If we want our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren to live for God by faith. A Sunday school teacher asked her class one day, why do you love Jesus? And a little boy stood up and said, I love Jesus because he made the sun to shine. He sat down, another little boy got up and said, I love Jesus because he makes the birds to sing. Another little boy stood up and said, I love Jesus because he gave me my mommy and my daddy. Finally, fourth little boy stood up and said, I don't know why I love Jesus. I guess it just runs in our family. You know what that mom and dad had done? They had transferred their faith. Transferred their faith. This is what I'm talking about. Faith has to begin somewhere, but it can be transferred. Where did Abraham's faith begin? It began with God. But old Abraham took that faith and believed God and obeyed God to the place where his son Isaac believed God and lived by faith, and his grandson Jacob believed God and lived by faith, and Joseph believed God and lived by faith. He passed it on, the transfer of faith. Why don't you begin a new generation who begins to live by faith and then transfer that faith on to your children and your friends? Fourthly, the Christian who lives by faith discovers the treasures of their faith. Look at verse number 16. But now they desire a better country. Not talking about Ur of the Chaldees now. Not even talking about the promised land now. They desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Talking about heaven now. I'm talking about the Christian who lives by faith and discovers the treasures of faith. What great treasure you receive. What is this treasure? Are those treasures you receive when you learn to believe God? Well, may I say, first of all, the first treasure of faith is God's approval of your life. Without faith, we can't even please God, the Bible says. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Oh my. God's approval in our life. Look at verse number 16 again. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Woo! To live in such a way where God says, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's my preacher. That's my missionary. He's not ashamed to be called our God. Is God ashamed to be called your God? Let me ask you some questions. Is God ashamed to be called your God when the offering plates are passed? Mm-hmm. As the old preacher said, somebody give me a witness. Is Is God ashamed to be called your God when the invitation is given and you resist the Holy Spirit? Is God ashamed to be called your God on visitation and soul winning night? Teachers meeting night? Is God ashamed to be called your God when the TV's turned on or the internet's turned on? Is God ashamed to be called your God when you're on your job or in the locker room? Well, that's a question we ought to ponder tonight. Listen, God is not ashamed to be called Abraham and Sarah's God. That's what the Bible says. God has written it down about this man who walked by faith. Would God be ashamed to be called your God tonight? This reveals a great, great problem in America today among teenagers and adults alike. Saying we're Christians but living in such a way that God would be ashamed to be called our God because of the lifestyle we're living. Because of the filth of our mouth. Because of the things we put into our mind. My desire is to live in such a way and lead our church to live so that God would say, I'm not ashamed to be called the God of Bob Smith or the Trinity Baptist Church. They're my people and I'm their God. Oh, I want that so much. Notice what else the Bible says is a treasure of faith. The continual working of God in their life. The continual working of God. Notice, now they desire a better country. Now, this but now is not talking about Ur of the Chaldees. It's not even talking about when God made the promise. It's not even talking about when Isaac was born. It's talking about now, way down in the end of their life, the twilight of their life. God's still working with them. God's still working for them. God's still moving in their behalf as they still walk by faith, trusting God. One of the treasures of our faith is that God continues to work in our life. A life that's always growing and not coasting. Some of you are coasting, aren't you? You've grown to a place in your life and you kind of put on the brakes and then pushed in the clutch and just kind of letting it coast. Oh, the joy. One of the treasures is that God will work with us and walk with us and guide us and bless us, not just when we're young, not when we're successful in business, but even when our steps grow feeble and our walk is delicate and our eyesight's failing and we can't walk as fast as we used to walk or carry the load we used to carry. But if we keep trusting Him, if we keep walking by faith and obeying Him by faith, He continues His working, His leading, His blessings in our life throughout our life. The three greatest treasures that God can give you are eternal salvation, eternal security, and the fact that He keeps working in you and on you and for you. And then the last discipline that we as Christians must deal with by faith is death. How are we going to face that day? Death. When we've lived our life and it comes to an end and our earthly life is over, Well, if we've lived by faith up to that point in the Word of God and the God of the Word, we live by faith through that point. See, God speaks about it. Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." The psalmist said, "Precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints." So what am I going to do? I'm going to give up when I come to that moment of death? Am I going to believe that God has failed and forsaken me? No. By faith, I'm going to step through that door also. And when I step through that door, I step into his presence. By faith. By faith. By faith. When this life is over, and when I stand before my Savior, with all my heart, I want to hear Jesus say, "Welcome home, Bob Smith. I was never ashamed to be called your God." What will he say when you stand before him? What would you like him to say? One thing I know, he'll not lie. He'll not pretend. If you're going to hear him say, "Well done, I'm not ashamed to be called your God," you're going to have to deal with some sin. You're going to have to deal with some past. You're going to have to deal with some failures and put it under the blood and claim his forgiveness and to begin to live and walk by faith in the will of God from this day forward. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, for the examples that you give us, the instruction, the teaching, the help for our life. I pray, dear God, tonight you'll raise up some men and women who will want to walk by faith, who will want to obey you and live for you the best they know how. Men and women who will trust you even through their tough times and times of testings. Men and women who will trust you when it seems that everything else is going wrong around them. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll raise up some young men and women who will serve you with all their life and glorify you with their life and live in such a way that you'll not be ashamed to be called their God or say, "They're my people." I pray that you'll raise up young men and women who will glory in the treasures of our faith and live in such a way that they'll transfer that faith on to their children because they watch them love you and grow and serve you, and they want the God of their fathers and their mothers to be their God. Now, Lord, we sure do need you. In these next few moments of invitation, would you speak to our hearts and help us to grow? Help us to yield our life to you. Help us to learn to love you with all our heart and serve you with all our mind. Help us to get rid of the word no when you speak to our hearts. Help us to learn how to quit rejecting and rebelling and learn how to submit and yield to your will and your call. Thank you for those who have gone before us who have been faithful. Not just those recorded in the Word of God, but some in our own church that are wonderful examples of a life of faith. Thank you for their encouragement. Thank you for their testimony. Thank you for living in such a way that they live in such a way that others will say, "I'd like to know their God and have his blessings in my life." Now, Lord, it may be that someone here needs to get in this church and make it their church home. Maybe someone here is tonight's unsaved. They need to get saved. Perhaps there's some young man or woman here you're speaking to about them yielding their life to you in special service. Oh, God, would you speak to us tonight? In these next few minutes, have your way. We'll thank you for what you shall do in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and